How to pay for Wisconsin's transportation future is one of the toughest decisions lawmakers will make in the next 4 months. Governor Scott Walker wants to borrow $1.3 billion more, but the nonprofit Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group says Walker's plan would pay for wasteful spending and misplaced priorities. To explain that, thanks to Bruce Spade, Executive Director at Wisberg, for joining us today. Bruce, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Let's frame the debate this way. The first quote will come from Secretary of Transportation Mark Gottlieb when he sent his budget to the Department of Administration. So let's go through that. This budget request puts the transportation fund on a firm financial footing over the long term and provides a blueprint for meeting the significant needs we face across all transportation modes in all areas. Well, now I'm going to contrast that with the preface, your executive summary from your fork in the road summary from last fall. Wisconsin's transportation spending priorities are backward. The state has spent billions of dollars on highway expansion projects while slashing transit funding and curbing assistance for local road repair. Explain, sir. From 10,000 feet before we go into the micro.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, we are concerned that what the state has been doing for really a decade or more is irresponsible and really doesn't best serve taxpayers or our transportation system. And what I mean by that is we have spent enormous sums of taxpayer money primarily on highway expansion projects that we're finding we don't need, that are wasteful spending, and that really that money could be better spent elsewhere. And it really calls into question this whole notion of a transportation deficit. If you look at scaling back some of the largest expenditures in the transportation fund and instead put a priority on fixing it first, maintaining and repairing what we have, which is what we're calling for, when you consider that we've been driving less and you look at these corridors where the DOT wants to expand and we're seeing traffic counts go down or remain stagnant, then we could save taxpayers a whole lot of money. And we're saying, let's get the priorities straight, because it's good for our transportation system, but it's also good for taxpayers. And before we even consider asking taxpayers for more revenues, let's start there and get the priorities straight.
This is a fascinating debate because the Secretary of Transportation recommended, as you know, $751 million in higher taxes and fees, point one. Point two, he wanted $574 million from the general fund. So he saw a shortfall of $1.3 billion when you total that up. And that's in addition to the $1.6 billion that we now get from our motor fuel taxes, and what you and I pay to register our vehicles. So, Transportation Secretary recommends higher taxes and fees. The governor says, I'm buying your premise that we're $1.3 billion underfunded, but I want to do it through bonding. Comes now your group saying, time out. Priorities are wrong.
Yeah,
it's just a fascinating debate, and legislators will have to pick.
Yeah.
I think we're
hearing some good things come out of the legislature right now. I mean, I want to applaud the legislators who are saying, you know, maybe we need to look at scaling back some of these mega projects, because that is the right thing to do. I mean, we need to study it project by project. But let's take, for example, the I-94 expansions, the east-west corridor between the Zoo and Marquette interchange.
Right.
We're in the process of a more than $1 billion expansion of the Zoo interchange, and repair work needed to be done there. But now we're starting to study between Zoo and Marquette. This is the project where one of the options is to double deck the freeway.
Yes.
The other option.
And local officials say DOT is biased towards double deck, which has. That's the most costly option, isn't it, Bruce?
It is the most costly. That's correct.
Okay, but go ahead. I interrupted you.
No problem. I would say that the DOT is biased towards expansion because they've only put two options forward for that corridor. Both of them are expansion. One is the double deck. The other is an at-grade expansion. And let's just look at the numbers of that particular project. We could repair with spot improvements that corridor for somewhere around $400 to $500 million.
Are you talking about widening lanes? Because you're hemmed in on cemeteries.
That's correct. No, this is just repair with spot improvements, not lane expansion. So just repair with spot improvements would be about $400 to $500 million. The cheaper of the two expansion options, which is referred to as the at-grade expansion, narrowing the lanes, narrowing the emergency lane, not double-decking, is close to $1 billion. They're saying $850 to $900 million. The double-deck is $1.2 billion. Mm-hmm. So the point here is that we're talking $400 to $800 million above and beyond the cost of repair for this one project, in a corridor where traffic counts have gone down by 8% over the last 12 years.
Traffic counts have gone down on that one stretch. Basically, we're talking from Miller Park out to the zoo.
Correct.
Traffic counts are down. Well, then, what is driving the momentum in DOT to a major expansion at a cost of your estimate up to $1
billion? That's right.
What's driving that?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think it's really a question for the DOT. I mean, why do they, with every project they consider, always want to expand it, you know, in corridors where we're seeing traffic counts stagnate or go down? So I don't really have an answer to that. But, you know, certainly, you know, if you consider the politics of the state, we know one of the most powerful interests in Wisconsin are, you know, the highway building firms and those that work with them. So I don't know what the motivation is, but what we're saying is let's fix it first. Let's start with repairing what we've got, and let's not waste money on expansion projects where it's not needed.
I want to ask you about another part of your fork in the road study. When you say Wisconsin faces a choice, continue to shower money on unnecessary highway expansions or invest in critical projects to repair our existing transportation infrastructure and provide more transport options to citizens around the state. What's the importance of the 2015-2017 budget in terms of transportation policy?
Well, really, I would say the mantra should be fix it first. And by that I mean we need to maintain our highway system. Let's focus on maintenance. Another priority, local road repair and local transportation investment. Our local municipalities, our towns, really local governments in the state have been taking a hit for more than a decade now. We've, in fact, over the last 15 years, seen a 30% decrease in the budget for local roads and local transportation infrastructure, while we've seen a doubling in funding for major highway projects. So, in effect, what we're doing is taking money away from our local communities to fix the potholes and fix the local roads to pay for these massive highway expansion projects. And I think we need to come to grips with the choices we have made and get the priority straight. So another priority has to be, let's fix it first with our local infrastructure. I think you could ask any Wisconsinite and they would express frustration over the fact that there are too many potholes in their local communities.
Quoting again from your study, Wisconsin's previous two biennial state budgets spent a combined $2.5 billion on major new highway construction. Here's my question. If we have started these major projects, $2.5 billion, don't we have to finish them? I mean, you can't just leave the zoo freeway with a price tag of $1.7 billion
right,
where it is right now. But go ahead. So what policy, by starting $2.5 billion, doesn't this set in forth kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy that these projects have to be finished?
Well, it does to some degree. And just to clarify our position, I mean, we understand the zoo interchange. We're not proposing that we stop that project. I mean,
okay.
We need
you
to repair,
keep that on track?
We need to. I mean, we've already...
Busiest intersection in Wisconsin.
Well, and we need to continue that. We've already committed to that improvement, and we need to do it. And we're not proposing that we stop any of the projects that we're working on in terms of actual construction. What we're saying is the projects that we're considering, and there are a number of them out there. I mean, Highway 23, I-94 East-West Corridor between Zoo and Marquette, the Madison Beltline. There are a number of projects that are getting studied right now. We're saying let's hit the pause button on those projects and prioritize repair and make sure that these other critical needs around the state, our local roads, are being met first and foremost. The other thing I would include in that list of priorities would be funding for transit and for bike and pedestrian infrastructure. I mean, we're seeing a real seismic shift in the way people get around, especially millennials. They are shedding cars, and I talk increasingly to people in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. Especially in the business community, who will say that they don't want cars. They just want to get around without them, and they want to live in a community where they have more options. So we're saying let's make sure that we provide those options because that's critical as an economic development strategy to help us recruit and retain young talent.
Did Wisberg have a policy decision on the decision made last week by the Milwaukee City Council for the mayor's trolley or streetcar, whatever you want to call it?
We did not take a position on the streetcar, but you know, I think those types of investments are the ones that millennials, and really it's not just millennials. I think people of all ages are increasingly, you know, looking for more options for how they get around. And I certainly think that's a step in the right direction.
I want to pursue, Wisberg is fine with reworking the zoo interchange, even though it's going to cost $1.7 billion.
We are, yes.
What about the other projects that are specifically mentioned in the governor's budget in brief? And first of all, the governor says proudly, This budget invests a total of $6.5 billion in Wisconsin's transportation infrastructure, allowing Wisconsin to continue to maintain and develop existing projects. So $6.5 billion, although 1.3 of that through borrowing, which we'll get into later. But here are the specific projects that he takes credit for. We would keep the zoo interchange on schedule with $623 million, and you're okay with that?
We are.
Okay. I-94 East-West project, we've just explained your questions about that.
Yes.
That you've heard estimates that it could cost $1 billion, and you think your option would cost what?
Well, $400 to $500 million
for
repair with spot improvements.
Okay, especially with the VMT miles dropping.
Correct.
The governor's budget, the governor in his budget says it takes credit for $20 million would be provided as Wisconsin's share for the Stillwater Bridge. Are you okay with that?
You know, we haven't formally taken a position on the Stillwater Bridge. I think there are some concerns there, but to be honest, that isn't a project that we've studied in great detail.
Governor's budget also says it funds $16.8 million for the Hone Bridge. Position on that?
Well, I mean, the Hone is a project that we've already invested a lot in moving forward with, so we haven't generally questioned that.
Okay, and then the final project I want to ask you about, the governor's budget provide $836 million over the biennium to keep major highway projects, including the widening of I-39/90 from Madison to the Illinois border. What's your position on that?
We have questioned that project. I mean, that's a corridor where, again, traffic counts from 2000 to 2012, the most recent year for which we have data, the DOT projected a 29% increase in traffic, 1% increase. That's another corridor where we're seeing stagnating vehicle miles traveled, and it really doesn't seem justified. And I'll mention, you know, really the two primary reasons for highway expansion are congestion and safety. The other factor we looked at, I mean, we typically, when we study these projects and whether or not we need to make these big investments in expansion, because again, that is often where a lot of the cost comes mm-hmm. when we do these projects. We can do just the repair for a lot less. And we looked at both the traffic counts and safety and crash data in that corridor. And the data just doesn't support a massive expansion project, which again, I mean, we're talking $1 billion here when we could repair it for much less.
Okay, now let's go back to the actual chart from your study. And you offer a pretty striking gap here. And so now we're gonna use the graphic from your study, Fork in the Road. And it says that rather than projects that are being contemplated, which would total 2.764 million, you rounded up to 2.8, let's consider projects 1.168 billion. So do you want to talk about this chart?
Sure, absolutely. Well, so we looked at four projects, which again are in the early stages. We've already talked about a few of them. I-94, the East-West Corridor in Milwaukee, right. I-90 south of Madison, which we just discussed, Highway 23.
What's the price tag on I-90 south of Madison?
It's roughly $1 billion.
I think
they've said the latest estimate is $950 million, if I remember correctly.
Do you trust DOT's estimates on some of these repairs?
Well, we do frequently see the cost and the end being higher. It's more often the rule that the cost goes up over time than that it goes down. I mean, there certainly have been projects that they've come in under budget, but you know, I mean, this project, when we first started looking at it, the I-90 project south of Madison was around $800 to $850 million. Now everyone's seeing about $950 million.
Okay. Well, let's go back to this chart because I think it's the heart of what you're saying when you say that we're kind of at a fork in the road, we're presented with a major choice. So do you see the choice before lawmakers who will be voting on the budget here within 4 months, this $2.8 billion or $1.16 billion?
Well, our point here is to point out that when we talk about problems in the transportation fund, one of the things causing the problem is the high cost of expansion projects. Mm-hmm. And I should note that to the greatest extent possible, this graph from Fork in the Road, we try to include just the cost for expansion. Okay. Because again, we need to repair our highway system. It is very important to the state. The question is, do we need to spend billions more? And for these four projects, nearly $2.8 billion additionally for expansion when we have all these other repair needs that are really being neglected. And so this is really to frame up that, look, if we cut back on the massive cost, extravagant spending on major highway expansion, we could do a whole lot, and maybe we wouldn't find ourselves in such a bind. And it would be the right thing to do for taxpayers and it'd be the right thing to do for our transportation system. So what we did with this other graph that totals just over $1.1 billion is...
I want to finish on the one on the left.
Okay.
Because, and excuse me for interrupting, but we've talked about, you mentioned widening Highway 23, and you've talked about expanding on 84 in Milwaukee, and we've talked about widening. The Madison Beltline, how serious is DOT about that?
Well, we'll see. I mean, they're studying it right now. I mean, again, this is why we included this project is because, again, you have a corridor where traffic counts, you know, at locations throughout it just aren't increasing.
And they're you've got that scored out at a cost of about $1 billion.
Correct.
Okay. Now we can go to the ones on the right. I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention the Beltline.
Yeah.
So walk us through what Wisberg is suggesting might be a wiser fiscal course for Wisconsin, correct?
Correct.
Okay, all yours.
Well, what we did is look at the Transportation Policy and Finance Commission recommendations for local road repair, repair of state-owned roads, transit, capital and operating, and bike and pedestrian projects.
These are the recommendations made 2 years ago that both the governor and lawmakers passed on then, correct?
Correct. That was proposed to the... That's right. They did not take it
they
up.
They shelved it.
Correct.
Okay. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Yes. So we took those recommendations and we ran them out for 10 years with the presumption being that, you know, we don't build a highway project in one biennial budget, right? It normally takes 3 to 5 budgets to pay for those investments. And so we tried to do as much as we could an apples-to-apples comparison here where we said, look, this is what we could get for a fraction of the cost of 4 highway expansion projects.
Just 4 expansion projects.
Correct.
Okay.
And so it's just to say that, look, roughly half of our budget goes to our highway system. And a lot of that money is going to expansion in corridors where we're driving less or where it's stagnating and where we're seeing trends shift. And just a quick tangent, you know, we often hear the DOT and we'll hear folks generally talk about once the economy recovers, we'll see a VMT return. It's not happening. And even Secretary Gottlieb has pointed out that historically, it's during recoveries that we see the greatest spike in VMT.
Well,
but it's not happening.
Okay. Your Fork in the Road study included a study of VMT. So that's on page 2 of your Fork in the Road study, which is on your website. But what's your takeaway from your chart on VMT, which is vehicle miles traveled?
Right, vehicle miles traveled. Well, it's that total vehicle miles traveled in 2013, the most recent year that we have data for, was below 10 years before, 2003. And that doesn't even account for the fact that our population grew over those 10 years and our economy grew. So when you add it all up, and maybe a better way to view this is VMT or vehicle miles traveled per capita,
right,
we see an even sharper decline. And in fact, for the last 10 years, it has been declining per capita, per person. We're driving less. And we've seen now a 10-year decline, unprecedented since the end of World War II, to have a 10-year decline, anything like this. And then you have all this evidence out there, millennials shedding cars and looking to live in communities where they don't need a car, looking to get around through other modes. You have boomers retiring. I mean, this is a big factor as well, right? Now the second largest generation, the millennials have...
Edge them out, yes.
So you boomers retiring and exiting the phase of their career where they presumably would drive the most.
Yes.
And then, you know, you also factor in that, you know, we're seeing a lot of growth in urban areas and less suburbanization. The cost of gas has dipped. We'll see what sort of factor that plays. But I think I don't think anyone would assume that gas is going to stay at, you know, around $2 for that long. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe a year, right? But I mean, in the long term, I think people get that financially, it's in their interest to try to find cheaper ways to get around.
Okay.
And so when you consider all these factors and add them up, it seems nearly impossible that we would return to the year-on-year 2.5% increases in VMT that we saw from the end of World War II to 2004. And it's not happened for the last 10 years. I mean, there has been a sharp departure that began before the recession and has continued despite a recovery. And so that's where we're saying, why are we investing billions to expand highways when we have all these neglected needs?
Okay. So your suggested priorities, column right in this graphic, boost repairs to local roads first. Secondly, boost repairs to state-owned roads, which does that preclude some of these major widening projects?
Well,
like I-90?
Well, this includes the cost of what we tried to do is look at just the cost of expansion with these 4 projects. Because, you know, again, our point always has been, let's fix it. Let's fix it first. Let's repair it we're questioning the expansion.
Okay.
And so we tried to splice out best we could from, you know, the DOT estimates that are provided, just the expansion cost when we total up this $2.8 billion.
Then let's talk about your third priority on what you think would be wiser policy. Bike and pedestrian projects,
correct,
coupled with transit capital projects. Can you talk about that? Well, in addition, raise transit funding. So your Wisberg study says Wisconsin has been shortchanging transit programs, and transit is a misnomer. Are we talking buses?
Yeah, we're talking buses. Primarily in Wisconsin, we're talking buses, right? I mean, we might, I think it's hard to say generally. You have to take this at a case-by-case basis, what's going to best meet the need locally. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think what's happened recently in Milwaukee with the streetcar is, you know, evidence that the times are changing a bit, right? I mean, we're seeing this in urban areas all over the country where they're making investments in local transit systems to meet changing needs and, you know, a population looking for more transportation choices, more options. And ways to better solve some of the congestion problems that there are in urban areas. I mean, I often like to point out that, look, we've been trying to solve congestion for 60 plus years, and what we've been doing hasn't been working because it keeps getting worse. So, you know, maybe it's time to think anew about how we do this. But really, I think more than anything, the reason to do that is because people are gravitating towards those other options. They're driving less. So now's the time to actually respond to what people are doing.
You talk about in your study how the $2.5 billion spent on major state highway projects. What has transit funding done in the last two budgets?
Well, it has actually, right now we are funding transit at a lower level than we did 4 years ago. There was a 10% cut in the 2011-2013 biennial budget. There was then a 4% increase in the last 6 months of the 2013-2014 biennial budget. Mm-hmm. That has been funded with what the governor proposed, and he's proposed level funding transit at that 4% increase relative to the first year and a half of the current biennium into the next 2 years. So what that means is that we're still below where we were 4 years ago, at a time when we're seeing people drive less and seek more options. So
one of your options that you raise in the Fork in the Road study is regional transit authorities. Now, I've covered the legislature for a few years, and they can't agree. Milwaukee lawmakers, was it under the last Doyle administration budget, thought they had a deal with the governor. He vetoed it. I've been at press conferences where Speaker Voss says, I just don't like the regional transit authority approach.
Yeah.
What's been the problem with RTAs?
Yeah, well, I think you touched on it. It's been a political problem, right? There's been disagreement over how to move forward with RTAs. And we put it out there because it is one option for addressing these local needs, having some local...
Which is my question. If politicians in the Capitol could ever agree on an RTA as a transit strategy, what would be the upside of it, Ruth?
Well, it would provide more funding for local transportation infrastructure, and it would be one way to help meet those local needs, be it, you know, fixing local roads or transit. You know, we've typically been of the mind that, and part of what we tried to do, we continue to talk about it because certainly it should be considered as an option, one of the things we could
do. Should the RTAs have taxing authority?
Well, I mean, they're more or less meaningless without that. I mean,
okay,
the point
That's
really
a fair
is
answer.
To raise local revenue, right? I mean, if we're not raising local revenue, I mean, I guess you could argue that there might be some value in just doing regional planning, and certainly there is. But at the end of the day, if we can't implement any of the plans, then what's the point?
Is there enough money in our current state transportation funding cycle or programs, largely 89% of which, as you know, come from either our motor fuel taxes or what you and I pay to register our vehicles.
Right.
Is there enough money in the current funding scheme to finance Wisberg's proposal for $1.16 billion over the next 10 years?
Well, we're analyzing that right now, given the projections for the DOT, but we feel pretty confident part of why we did this chart is to make the point that if we scaled back some of these major and costly expansion projects, it would free up a lot of funding for a lot of these local needs, be it local roads, transit, bike and pedestrian investments. I mean, you know, the fact that bike and pedestrian funding gets cut from the budget, or it's known as the Transportation Alternatives Program, TAP funding, I mean, we're talking, you know, $2 million. I mean, this is chumped. I mean, it's not really. It's taxpayer money, and I don't mean to talk about it so lightly, but in the grander scheme of the budget, it's an incredibly small amount of funding. And we can get so much in local road repair, in transit, in bike and pedestrian infrastructure, so much for the cost of these mega highway projects. I mean, again, it's night and day when you look at the actual costs.
Let me ask you about bike and pedestrian funding. Is that an option for northern Wisconsin, north of Highway 10, north of?
Well, I mean, I think that's for the communities to decide what extent is that need there. I mean, we do have bike infrastructure up there, and sure, I think it would be neglectful not to make sure that we're providing that infrastructure, especially as we see, you know, more and more people gravitating towards getting around by bike or walking.
And your study did say that Eau Claire has a pretty ambitious bike and pedestrian plan.
That's right.
Is it funded? Is it in place? Is it being constructed?
To my understanding, it's not. They don't currently have the funding for it. You know, and that is one of the problems, right? I mean, so much of our local communities, towns, villages, cities in Wisconsin are operating on a shoestring budget. What is not operating on a shoestring budget are the major highway programs in the state. We are spending extravagantly, and we can't fix the potholes. We can't maintain decent transit service, which, you know, regardless of the choice that people are making, I mean, some people are choice riders. In fact, increasingly people are choice riders and wanting to seek out transit as an option. But, you know, some people depend on it just to get to work. So, again, this is also an economic and workforce connectivity issue. You know, it's not just making sure it's an option out there for people who want to do it. For some people, it's the only option they have. And we've had to cut back on service in communities all over Wisconsin and increase fares because of the cuts in transit funding. And again, we could have increased funding in transit for such a tiny fraction of what some of these mega highway projects cost. So again, it's trying to put all of this in perspective that, you know, you might even argue that I think it'd be fair for some legislators to, you know, maybe they question, well, really should we go in a different path for our transportation future? Maybe we should wait out, you know, the VMT figures and kind of see how all this plays out. But I think it would be even responsible just to say, now, when we're in a budget crunch, let's fix it first.
Wisconsin lawmakers get calls from Chamber of Commerce and other civic groups and other businesses, we need better roadways. When they get those calls, Wisconsin lawmakers want to be able to say, when they're running for re-election, I'm the reason that Highway XYZ is, you know, on the timetable to be improved. So there is a political inclination and momentum to fund these projects, isn't there?
There is. I mean, yes.
But it's not the wisest course.
Right. That's exactly it. I mean, let's do what's in the best interest of our transportation system. And we do need, I mean, just to be clear, we do need good roadways, right? And we are advocating for good roadways. And in fact, our roadway system would be better if we fixed it first, if we maintained what we have, right? Our whole system would be better off. Right now, what's happening is we're neglecting a lot of our existing infrastructure to pay for these mega highway projects, again, in corridors where we're seeing traffic counts go down. It just doesn't make sense.
How do you lobby for your other option here, the $1.16 billion option?
Well, we're making the case that, we can't afford to do what some are proposing, which is, and what the DOT wants to do, which is massive expansion projects. And
so you don't support either what the secretary recommended or the governor's proposal to bond at $1.3 billion?
No. Well, we think that's irresponsible as well. I mean, it's shocking, right, to think that you have corridors that we're proposing to bond, put on a credit card, expenses to widen highways in corridors where we're driving less. I mean, what are we doing? This, it doesn't add up. It's irresponsible. And so we're making the case that, I guess, to some extent, it's saying, look, this is the right thing to do. This is the responsible, wise thing to do. But the other thing we're saying is, look, I think every legislator in the state hears from mayors and village boards and town boards saying, please help us fix our local roads.
They do.
In a lot of these communities, they're hearing from transit systems saying, we're just trying to maintain the service we provide. I mean, right. I'm hearing reports from Appleton that their whole system is at risk. We can't afford to do that. We can't lose our transit systems. They are too important for people to get to jobs, to get to the doctor, and to attract and retain young talent. Sure. Again, this is an economic development strategy. So we're going into making the case, look, there's a way to do this that serves your constituents and meets the transportation needs we have in Wisconsin and serves the public interest in the state.
We're almost out of time, so just a couple wrap-up questions. If the governor got his way and we bond at $1.3 billion, or if legislators cobble together some tax and fee increases to boost spending on transportation by $1 billion, What does this look like in the next 3 or 4 years? Look out, if we continue to spend at that rate on major projects, what does it look like?
Well, I mean, it's going to be increasing debt service that we have to pay off. Or it's going to be more money out of your pocket in tax increases. I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, that's what we're going to have to do to meet these needs. And again, it's irresponsible. And the other big concern here is if we were to increase revenues or increase bonding, it undermines the ability to get the priorities right. Because, I mean, the DOT budget request, we were very direct when that came out in saying, look, this is transit and local road window dressing for a highway expansion budget. If you really look at the numbers, what the DOT proposed and what the governor's proposed is largely a highway expansion budget. And we're neglecting still a lot of these local needs. I get that there are many out there saying, at least we're level funding the increase that was approved in the current biennium. But come on, that's not going to meet the need. I mean, we need to be advocating for increasing the funding to fix our local roads. I mean, even that isn't, I think you could ask any town or city official in the state and they would say, yeah, even funding that 4% increase, we're still going to have our hands tied and not be able to do some of the critical repair we need to do, let alone, you know, maintain or improve the transit service that we have. So we need to get the priorities straight first.
Okay.
Let's not tax people more or put more on the credit card. Let's start by getting the priority straight.
And my final question, did any of the options put forth by Secretary Gottlieb, I mean, let's just review some of them. Raising the registration fees for hybrid and electric, raising the gas and diesel taxes, which haven't been increased since 2006, self-reporting what you and I drive, so if we're high mileage drivers, did any of those options make any fiscal sense to Wisburg?
Well, they don't make sense if it's going to go towards unneeded projects. The dynamic that does exist is that, and we hear the DOT talk about the fact that we're driving more fuel-efficient cars. They don't talk as much about the fact that we are driving less. Those are the two factors that are leading to declining gas tax revenues.
Mm-hmm.
So I think over the long term, assuming that these trends continue, right, the increasing fuel economy and decreasing driving, we might eventually be in a bind, since that's a major source of revenue for our transportation system. But right now, we're looking at roughly $5.5-6 billion in revenues. Let's get the priorities straight, right? It's a decline, and in the long term, we're going to have to consider how do we fund our transportation system, assuming those trends continue. But right now, we've got revenues. Let's spend them wisely.
Okay, and how is Wisburg going to make the point? As Joint Finance takes this budget on the road, or are you going to testify? You're going to have ask local officials, local elected officials to testify?
Absolutely. We will be testifying. We'll be reaching out to your mayors and town and village boards across the state. I mean, we've reached out to the municipal associations, urging them to join with us in standing for, I mean, they know better than anyone how critical the local needs are. It's time to stand up and say, let's stop wasting on unneeded expansion projects that are draining our transportation fund, and focus on what we've got and fixing what we've got and investing in the future too, right? I mean, another way to look at this would be that we're investing in the 1970s. I mean, we're overwhelmingly investing in all this highway infrastructure expansion when, you know, we've got a generation coming up that's shedding cars and saying they want to live in communities where they have more options. I mean, who are we building this transportation system for? I mean, after all, it's millennials that will not only use it the most, but they'll pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be more responsive to what they're doing, and certainly all indications from them seem to be it's a different transportation future, and we need to wisen up to that.
Well, with Joint Finance planning on holding public hearings next month on the budget, this is the right time to have this conversation. So Bruce Bate of Wisburg, thanks very much for coming in.
Sure, thanks for having
me. And there's no more important issue in the budget than transportation. So thank you.
Thank you.